The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stattmiller. And it is Friday. Don't ask me what the date is. I am home recovering from flu. Well, kind of, sort of. And I'm still hearing bumper in my ear. Do you have me now? Okay. All right, well, cut the music because it's confusing the hell out of me. All right, at any rate, on today's program, and this gentleman contacted me, Ken Mercer. We'll bring him up in a few minutes. And he is on the Texas Board of Education. And when I was talking to Mr. Mercer, it sounded to me like he was a lone wolf in the Texas Board of Education. So we will be talking to him. And this has always been one of my big bailiwicks, okay, is kids, you know, these schools. We have the taken over by the Fed government. We have, No Child Left Behind and national school curriculums and, well, you listen to a lot of people, well, it's just money. We need more money for the schools. The schools are overcrowded. That may be a small part of it. Money? Let me tell you something, folks. I'm sitting here and I've got my McGuffey readers out. And, books that have been published in the past. Good educational books. Holding one here from Thomas Jefferson. It was done, actually, let me open it up. It was done by H.G. Campbell Publishing Company. And it was on Thomas Jefferson, a true, and it doesn't pull any punches. It says in here his daddy was a slave owner and everything else. But this was from, let me get the date on this. 1898, it's when true history was being taught in our school system. Well, the public school system has failed, and I don't believe that that has been an accident. You know, time was, I mentioned the McGuffey readers. The actual title of them is the McGuffey's Eclectic Readers, Primer through the Sixth Grade. And as you read some of these, you realize that there is something that has gone terribly wrong in the school system. Yeah, we're in the 21st century. Yeah, the kids have to learn how to use computers. Most of them know how to use the doggone things probably before they get to school. But what emphasis on math and reading, comprehension, things that matter in our schools? You don't teach them what to think. You teach them how to think. It's up to the parents for the input as to what direction they're going to mold that child to go in. And they're all adults in training, ladies and gentlemen, and getting ready to go out into the real world. We try to equip them the best that we can so they can grow and have success in their own life. At any rate, we'll take the break here. I'll be back on the other side with Ken Mercer.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! Huh. For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasermedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. Introducing the new Go Berkey Kit, the first of its kind portable water purification system for those on the go. The new Go Berkey system has an amazing output of about a gallon an hour. Each Go Berkey kit includes a 1-quart high-quality stainless steel system, complete with a black Berkey purification element, a generic sports bottle, and a nylon carrying case. The whole kit weighs a mere 2.25 pounds. With an expected element life of around 3,000 gallons, you can refill the Go Berkey system up to an incredible 12,000 times before needing to replace the element. The new Go Berkey kit is perfect for backpacking, hiking, emergency packs, bug out bags, international travel, car emergency kits, or for your desk at home or at work. Get your Go Berkey kit today for only $139 by calling 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719. Go to republicbroadcasting.org. The online store, it's a featured product.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
There we go. All right. We are here, ladies and gentlemen. Sorry about that. I don't do programming by Skype. I like headphones and a microphone. At any rate, now that we're hooked up, I have Ken Mercer with me. Ken, good afternoon.
Hi, John. Good to be with you today.
Well, I appreciate you coming up. And I did not get your bio, by the way. Did you send me one?
Yes, I emailed you one. I'm a former Texas State Representative, and I'm currently a conservative member of the Texas State Board of Education. I have 12 counties and 1.5 million people just right in the heart of Texas.
Mm. Well, and you contacted me. Was there a reason why you wanted to get on air, Ken?
I know you've got some great broadcast on the National Intelligence Report, and I know Texas has been the forefront in education, and some of the far left have misrepresented what we're doing and misrepresented the fact that we're fighting for true and accurate American history that honors our founding fathers, honors our veterans, and you're not hearing that on the national news, and I just felt that you would help bring out the truth.
Well, that's what we're here for, and we do broadcast in Central Texas, so we're up your alley, so to speak. I don't know if you heard me or not. I've always been a real nut on history of this country, and more importantly, educational curriculum that used to be around, not the politically correct stuff. And I was at a flea market, and there was a set of books there that was put out by the University Association, copyright 1898 on the books. And they had Jefferson, Alexander Hamilton, Henry Clay, Daniel Webster, John Randolph, Sam Adams, James Otis. And these were accurate recounts of who these people were. And I was just fascinated that I looked at some of the public school curriculum, Ken. I don't see anything of any value or any worth if they do mention any of these individuals. And this is our history's roots. These were the people that were around at the formation. Who these people were was most important. What they believed was important. How they conducted their lives was important. And I said to you before air, you must be a stranger in a strange land being on that school board.
Well, I know on our board there's 15 members. For your listeners, there's 15 members in the board of Texas, and right now there are what this print media calls the conservative seven, and I'm part of that seven who always vote for conservative values. But we, as you just said, we really believe that the kids should learn about our positive light our founding fathers. And there's things that happened. Jefferson was a slave owner, as you mentioned before. There's things out there. But that we should learn about our founding fathers and honor our founding fathers for what we've created here, this miracle of government we have, at least up until this year, the miracle we've had in the United States of America. But yes, we have fought for those things. We've on our board curriculum, we actually brought back in history. We brought back things that were pulled out, like the Death March of Bataan, the battles of the Pacific, Omar Bradley, Dwight Eisenhower, Neil Armstrong, the first man on the moon, things that were taken out. We fought, we caught the other side trying to delete things in elementary school like Independence Day and Veterans Day. Those weren't important, they thought, for younger kids. The Liberty Bell as a symbol of patriotism of America. I mean, it's just outrageous the things that we fought for. The media's attacked us every time, the print media. But the fact is, I just feel that across the nation, we've been applauded by people for just standing up for conservative values and for the things you just mentioned, for true and accurate American history.
Well, the thought just dawned on me. I don't know if you've heard, Ken, we're doing the Elected Representative Network, and that's going to be coming up here real, real soon. I have yet to see our finished website. I'm waiting for that to happen. But we're starting to schedule out state senators and state legislators that are as close to statesmanlike as we can possibly get. Now, that term in the 21st century, I think, has a little different connotation than it did, say, in the 18th century. But be that as it may, the thought occurred to me that since you are an outspoken person, you were in state politics, you're now on the school board here in Texas, and you're kind of derailed or derided as being, you know, one of those conservative people. And it probably, as if things go unchecked, Ken, is the point, there probably won't be room for people like yourself on school boards in the future. And the thought dawned on me that I think you should be part of that elected representative network.
Well, I'd be part of that, because I can tell you we fight for things that are just there's a movement now in Texas, and by our Constitution, we have elected board members, because the people said we want board members who are accountable, you know, elected officials accountable to the people. But the other side's coming back with they want to abolish it, that they want to go with an appointed board. We know the problems of that. Other states do have appointed boards. The problem is you have no one who represents you, no one who's accountable to you. And you mentioned the word statesman. I really believe we stand hard. And on the other side, in Texas, for example, there's no state income tax, which is one reason why we're growing so well. We've gone from 22 million to now 25 million people at the next census. But I remember meeting with one of the liberal editorial boards here in San Antonio, and they were fighting with me. They wanted us to bring forth a state income tax, and I refused to do that. I said no. And they told me, the liberals said, in their view, a true statesman would champion a state income tax for Texas. How about that, John?
Yeah, well, and the problem I'm seeing is, why is the school boards and the approved curriculum, why is this being politicized? What does politics, left or right, have to do with an education of our children?
Exactly. And I would argue there is no left or right politics. In my case, it's true and accurate politics. We've seen the left, you know, for years, probably the last 30 years, control textbooks, especially in Texas. You control what's going on in our history, in our science, in our math, this fuzzy, feel-good math where they didn't want kids to even memorize timetables anymore. And in science class where they did not want kids to ask questions, they always say evolution, but the other part was global warming. Did not want kids to ask questions about that. I'm going, like, wait a minute. And they consider that's an agenda ideology. It says, no, it's just right and wrong. This is America. You know, if kids cannot raise their hands in class and ask questions, John, ask honest questions. We're no longer living in the United States of America. And if our kids don't know our true history of our founding fathers, I mean, our kids will lose their way, and America will lose her way.
Don't you see that as happening right now?
Yeah, yes, I do. I'm shocked in the media. I keep bragging on Texas. There weren't one of two states that said no to the Obama administration last fall when they wanted us to follow their national standards. They wanted to bring forth national standards, John, a national test, a national high school diploma. Texas said no because, first of all, we think our standards are better. But most of all, we said no, and 48 states said yes to a set of national standards they hadn't even seen. It was just released last week. So last fall, 48 states, John, said yes to Obama's national standards, and they hadn't even seen them yet. And there's an old phrase my wife hates me to use, but we call it in politics. It's called Politics 101. Follow the money, honey. Follow the money, honey.
Yep.
It's all about money. They got offered money, and they've sacrificed the future of our children, their education, for money up front to say yes to a national standards, national high school diploma they had not even seen, John. That's just outrageous.
Well, and I've always wanted to ask this question, and I guess you would be the guy to ask it. Why is Texas, why do they consider themselves to be independent school districts when they're carrying the curriculum and the mandates of the federal government?
Yeah, that's we have 1,200 independent school districts in Texas. We have 7,000 campuses, and that's been the fight now with, I want to say conservatives, because you and I know if I use the word Republicans, I'm a conservative first, and a lot of my Republican colleagues don't agree with me, but I would say Ken Mercer conservative, and that's been the real stand. We've kind of drawn a line of sand here in Texas, and I know that the armies of the left have come here and they want to continue to rewrite American history and rewrite to these national standards, and we're saying no, John. We're saying no.
All right, we got to take this break. We'll be back with Ken Mercer. He is on the Texas school board down here. Conservative individual, doesn't call himself a Republican because too many of those characters are Republicans in name only. And I've got a suggestion for the Republican Party. Go back and look at your own platform. Go back to that. Looking for an identity? Try there.
Here's Dr. John Mattson, a naturopathic doctor, and his views on Cartavite.
Well, I would like to thank you, Don, for making my job so much easier, because your products just make it so simple, right? To fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work, we can just put them on Cartavite and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens of patients with heart problems who have corrected them. And what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast-killing effect. That yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard. It also has metal chelating effect. And most of the other herbs in there, I find that strengthen the arteries. They help to neutralize free radicals. Your remedy is as close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut. It's working on the liver. It's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
For more information or to order your Cartavite, call 1-877-928-8822. Cartavite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or tincture. Our website is heartdrop.com.
How would you like to save up to $1,000 on your grocery bills? TDMS Marketing Research is conducting a special consumer spending study in your area. Call today and receive a certificate for $1,000 worth of grocery discounts and coupons. Then choose the coupons you want from hundreds of name brand groceries, personal and household items, and redeem them in supermarkets. TDMS has done the coupon clipping for you, so you save time and money. To receive your certificate for $1,000 of grocery discounts and coupons, you just pay a small processing fee of only $2.95. Fill your shopping cart while saving money. This is a limited time offer, so don't delay. Some restrictions apply. Call toll free 1-877-303-1622 now to get up to $1,000 worth of grocery discounts and coupons for just $2.95. Call 1-877-303-1622. That's 1-877-303-1622. Call now 1-877-303-1622.
Men, are you thinking about the health of your prostate? Recently, New Vitality Health Products gave away thousands of free bottles of the supplement Beta Prostate. Due to incredible demand, they're giving away more free bottles of Beta Prostate to any new customers who call now. Beta Prostate is packed with plant sterols that support your prostate health. Remember, your prostate affects urine flow, sleeping habits, intimacy, and overall quality of life. Beta Prostate is so powerful, you'd have to take 100 saw palmetto capsules in order to get the same natural plant sterols as one Beta Prostate. And if you haven't tried Beta Prostate yet, you can call right now for a free bottle. You only pay shipping and handling. Call 1-800-790-6293. This offer is limited to one free bottle per household. Give your body nutrition that targets the prostate. Call now and try Beta Prostate for free. Call 1-800-790-6293 and be sure to click on our banner at www.republicbroadcasting.org.
And I'm sitting here, Ken. I went up on the internet and downloaded an 1895 exam for 8th grade school. And this was from Salina, Kansas, taken from the original document on file at the Smoky Valley Genealogical Society and Library in Salina, Kansas, and reprinted. And math and, you know, arithmetic, grammar. The complaint about this was, now get this, now the complaint was the adults couldn't pass this test. And the object of this exercise was only to reveal what many of us have known for some time. The dumbing down of American public education over the past 100 years has been substantial, particularly in the last 50. You know, when great-grandma says she only had an 8th grade education, don't smirk. Well, I'm a child of the 60s. I dropped out in 9th grade. And that's not before I failed 8th grade at least once. I didn't like the school. I was very bored in it. I didn't have ADHD, and they didn't drug me up. I was just bored with it. But it was interesting because it was a public school. We still had corporal punishment. Mr. Bauman, you know, with the prerequisite shop teacher with the two digits missing. He's the one that manned the strap in the school bus garage. If you got online, we said the Pledge of Allegiance. We didn't have political correct curriculum in there. What I did learn in the eighth grade, we had a reading class, and it was speed reading with comprehension. Now, if students in schools today would just learn English and learn how to read read with full comprehension, half of the battle is already over with. Math, that's most assuredly important. Science, that makes for better rounded individuals. But there is much that's being taught in these schools that is of no consequence whatsoever. They can't think, they can't read, they can't do basic math. I would like to think that it's better here in Texas. I know in Detroit, they've got a 70% failure rate, dropout and failure rate. But they're screaming, we need more money. There's something inherently wrong with the curriculum itself.
Well, I agree with you. I think the answer is not in Texas. The average right now, in it, the way we do it, the way I do it is very simple. How much money do we spend? How many kids? And the average is $10,500 per kid.
Per year.
Okay. People, and that's, it's been over 10,000 a year for the last 8-10 years. So the question is, you know, is it more money? I think it's more of a process, and I agree. If you, we passed last year, and where all this, the big debates in Texas passed were 2 years ago. I'm sorry, we passed phonics in Texas. We finally, after 30 years, said, you know what? What word he works? It's phonics, and we started this year in kindergarten with full blown explicit phonics by grade level, so the kids can learn how to read and write. And John, I want to tell you, we get hit on dropout rates. I'm saying kids are dropping out in 7th, 8th, and 9th grade because they're frustrated. They cannot read, and they don't have any comprehension when they read. And if we go back to phonics, I really believe this could be a major change for Texas. And it was a bloody, bloody battle just to finally win that and finally bring it back to Texas. But that's just one thing you mentioned. I don't think it's more money. I think it's process.
Mm-hmm. Well, and again, let me go back to my McGuffrey's first electric reader. In the introduction of this book, Suggestion to Teachers, by the way, this is the 1879 edition. Number one, phonic method. First teach the elementary sounds and their representatives, the letters marked with diacriticals. Now, there's a word I haven't heard in quite some time, as they occur in the lessons. This is for the first grade, phonics. 1879 in a McGuffey reader.
Isn't that amazing? Seeing that?
Isn't it though?
And I always argued that in states like, say, Texas and Arizona, where we have maybe a lot of speakers whose first language is not English, well, what's the best way to learn a language? Phonics. What's the best way to learn how to pronounce and understand grammar? To build your vocabulary. To make kids successful is phonics. And I'm just shocked at the battle that we had in Texas with the national curriculum people who came down here and fought, and they believe that every word is a picture, John, and you should, you know, memorize every word as a picture. Well, that's what the Japanese do in their language, but that's not how we do it here. And phonics is the, if you really want to bless kids to be successful, I'm very strong on phonics. And I honestly believe you will, the result will be kids staying in school, not dropping out, because as you said earlier, if they can read and write, they can do anything, anything. Mm-hmm.
Well, and it's fascinating because culturally, what is being promoted to our kids is something less than, I would say, desirable. You know, people started to take note, Ken, that, well, our kids are wearing their baseball caps backwards and their pants are down around their crotch and, you know, we don't like this. And the music that they're listening to, that now they call it, it used to be called rap. Now it's, they call it something else.
Hip hop.
There you go. Yeah, boy, you're on the ball there. But the point of it is look what culturally these kids are gravitating to. If they're not texting, if they're not doing, you know, something electronic that's getting their minds off of where it should be, then we've got schools that, I mean, my God, Ken, what is wrong with the program and the curriculum in the schools right now?
Oh, you got it. I mean, what you just said about the electronic stuff, a light bulb went off. I should be telling John right now why the grades have gone so high. I said, John, well, we've got all these electronic devices. They got computers, interactive software. They got touch screens on a TV. They can learn and texting and all these great methods they can learn. And I should be telling you, why have all the scores gone off the charts? Instead, they've gone down with all these great tools.
All right, we got to take this break, Ken. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Did you ever wish that you could have done something while you still had the chance? What will you do if your income ends tomorrow? Or if you lose your home, as many already have? Do you have enough money to survive through an economic depression? If you don't want to gamble with your future, then FreeToProsper.com can help you quickly end your debt problems, protect your property and possessions, and develop a personal strategy to get you through the hard times. Most importantly, you get to keep your money and not pay another cent to creditors. Our program is often superior to bankruptcy, consolidation, or settlement. Visit FreeToProsper.com to find out more. This is your real chance to act ahead, so don't delay. Your future may depend on it. Call 718-615-0123 to learn more. That's 718-615-0123. Or visit FreeToProsper.com today.
With financial uncertainty circling the globe due to job losses, decline in the housing market, a climate of corruption, bailouts, currency rigging, and unfair competition, many are once more turning to precious metals as the only hedge against the uncertainty of the future. With the U.S. House conducting hearings on proposals to confiscate workers' personal retirement accounts, including 401ks and IRAs, this is the time to secure your assets. Call Republic Trading Group today, 800-691-7898, before this happens, and find out how easy it is to convert your existing IRA and in some instances your 401k plan into real wealth now. Don't let the ravages of hyperinflation caused by the massive increase of fiat currency now flooding world markets affect your retirement account. Call RTG at 800-691-7898 and experience the security and peace of mind that only real gold and silver can offer. That number again is 800-691-7898. Call now.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the Real Talk Radio Show.
We are back. Tell you what, we'll take some calls here as well. Let me go to Guy in Arkansas first. You're on with Ken Mercer.
Yeah, good afternoon, gentlemen. Another great guest there, John. Appreciate it. Yep. You know, I didn't realize how illiterate I was until I got the writing bug and I wanted to write my own poetry and short stories and finally knocked out a sci-fi novel. But
which I'm in the process of reading, by the way.
Oh, thank God. I hope you enjoy it. put 20-plus years of slow, agonizing work in that. But back on subject here.
Yeah.
You know, when I was a kid, I hated reading and I hated writing. It may have been the way that they were teaching us that I just couldn't stand it. But when I got older and I realized that, you know, language is so important, and especially these days when you got to learn how to cross your I's and dot your T's to put the papers into the court, and that was a joke, folks, you got to know what you're talking about. You got to know your language. And to compliment your guest today, I would, if I was restructuring the educational system, I would make sure that the very, very first two things that were taught to the students, and they became totally proficient in it before they moved on to any other course of studies, would be writing first and then reading, because then after that, you can educate yourself. And with that said, John, do me a favor.
Yes.
If you have about 10 minutes of spare time, which I know is an impossibility with you, I'd appreciate you giving me a call this week, and I got something I need to discuss with you.
Okay, not a problem.
Thank you so much, and thanks again for your guest.
Thank you.
Have a nice
thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, you know, I'm sitting here, and I'm going through a McGuffey reader. Try this one on for sixth grade. How many sixth graders would be able to read and comprehend this? It's on Thomas Jefferson. No golden eagle, warm from the stamping press of the mint, is more sharply impressed with its image and superscription than was the formative period of the government by the genius and the personality of Thomas Jefferson. Standing on the threshold of the 19th century, no one who attempted to peer down the shadowy vista saw more clearly, this is almost poetry, than the possibilities, the perils, the pitfalls, and the achievements there that were within the grasp of the nation. None was inspired by pure patriotism. None was more sagacious, wise, and prudent, and none understood by his countrymen better. By birth, an aristocrat, by nature, he was a Democrat, the most learned man that ever sat in a president's chair. His tastes were simple ones of a farmer, surrounded by pomp and ceremony of Washington and Adams courts. His dress was homely. He despised titles and preferred more severe plainness of speech and the sober garb of the Quakers. Now,
wow.
Point being, Ken, that almost read like poetry. The word, and I have never even heard of this one before, sagacious. You know, what sixth grader, my God, myself included, I don't even know what that term means. I got to look it up in a dictionary. But Guy was right. When you understand English, you can understand it, you can write it. There is more than half the battle right there. And that's what our kids can't even do coming out of school.
Well, I have to be honest, I actually wrote down the word sagacious when you said it. I guess I better look that. I was afraid you might ask what that word meant.
I don't know what it means, but I know it's English. But, you know, I mean, there's a classic point. I mean, here's a guy that hated English and reading and writing and all that other stuff, and I'm in the middle of reading a science fiction novel right now. So it isn't he learned to do what he needed to do. And there is no limits when you have basic understanding of concept, of grammar. And what is more disturbing than anything else? You know, it's kind of like the 21st century, you know, electronic gizmo wizardry, you know, texting and all that other stuff. And, you know, that's all fine and dandy. I, for one, would like to see cell phones and everything else banned from school time, period. I guess they got a program here in Texas so many times, and they take it away from you. But, you know, it shouldn't be allowed in the first place. Then the schools wouldn't have to worry about, you know, taking them back. But that's just a personal taste. Let me ask you this, Ken. What is the number one thing? Oh, by the way, here's my producer. Sagacious. Here it is. Obsolete. Keen in sense perception of keen and farsighted penetration and judgment. There we go. We just got schooled there, Ken.
Wow.
Now, ask any sixth grader today what sagacious means. Hell, I didn't even know it.
Well, ask any 50-year-old what that means. I'll be kind of...
Now, how much money is coming from the federal government into the Texas school systems?
That's a good question, because we have an all-funds thing that the State House and State Senate does, which is all funds being the federal government and state funding together. But I'd have to guess at that. I'd probably say a quarter of that is federal funds. But I can find out next time we talk and get you an exact number.
Well, and the way I'm seeing this, I mean, any time that you sign up for benefit or funds of the government, then you have the federal strings.
Strings, yeah.
What if Texas, and I think this should be, put on the public forum up for a vote. Maybe Texas has to secede totally from the federal government. I don't know what taxes Texas is sending over to the United States government so they can graciously carve back some to us. But I would like to see the Fed and any of their curriculum, No Child Left Behind, I don't care what it is. I would like to see a truly independent school system here in Texas. How about you?
Yeah, I would agree with that, because I just think that the 10th Amendment, when Jimmy Carter established Department of Education in 76, I mean, it was something brand new, and I'm going to go out on a limb. I would rather see the Federal Department of Education abolished, had those billions of dollars of admin money returned to the states, you know, for the students, for the classroom instruction. You know, I would rather have that, and we'd still have national tests like the Stanford exam, Iowa test, ACT, SAT to measure ourselves, but that money, to, again, people don't realize that only happened to Jimmy Carter. That isn't something very recent.
Mm-hmm.
And to take that power away, and the fear then was, you know, well, wait a minute, is this going to be the national takeover of education? Well, we've already seen what's happened in national takeover of healthcare, and that is, while all this is going on, while healthcare is going on, there also had the seeds out there for the national takeover education. It's pretty scary, John. So to answer your question, yes, I would rather it all come back to the states as it is in our 10th Amendment.
Well, and what we're seeing is a greater number of people that are homeschooling. Now, for a lot of people, that's not possible. Because you have to have two income earners in the home just to make ends meet anymore, to keep up with your bills, your credit cards, or your debt obligations, whatever they are. I see that, number one, as a problem. I would like to see a family decide, whether the woman has to go into the workforce, not out of necessity, but by choice. And as I said earlier, you know, our children, Ken, are adults in training. So we have the attitude of a lot of parents that, oh, good, you know, 6-7 hours out of the day, guess what? My public school now has just become my babysitter.
Oh, yeah.
And I have asked and I've begged and I've pleaded. And here's the irony to this one. I've never had any direct feedback from people that listen to this network as to why they're not involved more in their school curriculum, why they're not checking out the materials that are given to the children. Why aren't you even going to Parent Teachers Association meetings? What is going on with you? Are you satisfied with letting the state run your child's life? And chances are, the school teachers see more of your children than the parents do.
And that is pretty scary. That is really scary. I know in Texas our battles have been for committees like textbooks. We had the what I call the EPL, the Education Political Lobby, wants all educators on there. But by law in Texas, we say it should be one-third average moms and dads, one-third business leaders who are going to hire students, and the other third educators on there. But and we're having a hard time getting that, what you said. We're having a hard time getting business leaders and getting moms and dads on those committees, whether it be technology or science or health or English or history, to get people involved.
Let's go back to the phones. Gary in Texas. Hello, Gary.
Yeah, John, good, great guest you have there today. I appreciate it. You guys already hit on what I was going to ask about, and that is the elimination of the Department of Education federally and taking back education to make it a state issue rather than a federal issue.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes along with the states' rights movement and all of those kinds of things that we really need to do in order to put the stop to the federalization of our state, let's put it that way. And in many ways, the dumbing down. I'm sure you're familiar with Charlotte Isherby's book, The Deliberate Dumbing Down of America.
Yes.
And when I read that, I was amazed, you know, and I realized I'm a product of that. And it's amazing to find how they use psychology and things like that in order to manipulate these little minds into thinking in their own the ways of their own agenda. Let's put it that way.
Or not thinking probably would be more apt.
Well, that's true.
Yeah,
that's true. Anyway, just thank you and I appreciate it and keep up the good work.
All right, I appreciate it. Thanks, Gary. Let's go to Leek and, or I'm sorry, Lark. I can't read my own computer screen. Lark, hello, how are you doing?
Hi, John, how are you doing?
Hi.
I want to thank you for your guest today. This is quite a good topic and very timely. I wanted to say that when we see this word committee or we see this word council, I think more and more we need to think of this word Soviet. This is important for people to grasp. We can talk about that some other time if you wish, but that's important to realize. Committee and council is Soviet. it also implies community organizing. And when we see that word community, we have to think communitarian. And then I also want to say this, something that happened to me in sixth grade, and I wonder if the two of you would comment. My dad was military. So I think I went to 17 different schools before I even finished high school.
I know what that's like, yes.
But I especially want to hear your comments about this quick tale. In sixth grade, I went to two different elementary schools. The first three quarters, or three reporting periods, I made straight A's. Now, bear in mind, my mother was teaching me how to read and write before kindergarten, and she was a fanatic at word. She worked crossword puzzles, so I had a real benefit. I was considered a gifted student until I probably got into about 10th grade, and I pretty much gave up by then.
But let me ask you a question, Lark. What was it in the 10th grade? What happened to you and your attitude toward school? That was pretty much it.
I was totally bored. I realized that I was being lied to, and I also realized I was being indoctrinated. And I felt it palpably every single day. Also, you must realize that about that time, I was seriously studying political science. And I wasn't doing this through the auspices of the school and the teachers. I was doing it on my own. And I recognized that what I was in was a communist system. And it really, it just baffled me. And therefore, I lost all respect for my teachers. And I could go on and on. But let me tell my tale, if I can, John. May I?
Go ahead.
So I aced sixth grade at one elementary school. Now, my teacher was pretty. She wore a lot of makeup, and she stunk of coffee. I know, because she was always putting her hands on me. I was one of her pet students. And, of course, I liked it. I was eating it up. And I was also a little bit... you know, it's not a cool thing in school to really be an egghead in a lot of social circles, as you understand, as we all understand, I think. But for me, it was like sport. It was competition. It was nothing. It was no different than playing on the schoolyard or participating in Little League. But, you know, when I was in Cub Scouts, I had 27 arrow points before I was ever a bear. You know, that kind of thing. You know, it was it was part of what families at that time in America wanted to, they wanted their kids to excel. And so everywhere we could excel, for me, it was like sport. But be that as it may, then, for whatever reason, I was forced to transfer to another elementary school to finish the reporting period. And when that happened, I got one of these old-fashioned Christian school marms, very strict. But this particular school was in a different school district, and this particular woman, who was quite respected because she had been in the school system for 25 years or more, she was legendary as being extremely strict, and she was eccentric because she would go up and down the aisles singing, "Go God, help me get out of the gutter, get out of the gutter," things like that. But the school board and the school decidedly had become Jewish. And how do I know this? Because I was invited to participate in a runoff for the school spelling bee championship with a fifth grader who was Jewish. The principal was Jewish. And here's what happened. That in the runoff, I was given a word. It was actually the principal who conducted this privately in his conference.
Lark, I'm going to have to ask you to move this along.
All right, but here's what happened. I spelled a word with the British spelling instead of the American spelling, mm-hmm. and I lost that spelling bee. But there was no rule set in place that I had to provide an American or a British spelling, so I got cheated. But lastly, this is what I want to say. This is the most important thing I learned from that school, that old-fashioned school marm that was unmarried her entire life. She said that there was no such thing as a human except as an adjective. The noun is being. And it was the school system that forced that word into the textbooks so that we called humans human. We called human beings humans when in fact it was originally an adjective. And it was designed to separate us from our essential being.
We'll take the break. We'll come back. You're only going to be able to spend, what, about another 5 minutes with me, Ken?
Yeah, I'd leave by five. I apologize, John, but I sure am enjoying this, gosh.
That's okay. We'll be right back.
As the economy continues to plummet, many of us will have to make difficult choices and cut back on our expenses. One thing we cannot afford to cut back on, though, is our health. If you suffer from chronic illness, stress, weak immune health, or just feel tired, you need to visit Shentrition.com. Shentrition is an innovative supplement that stimulates the healing power of the body. Shentrition is made up of two parts. The first part is superfoods, alkalizing greens, and hemp protein. The second half contains a powerful herbal formula to heal and detoxify the body. The philosophy at Shentrition is to feed the body what it needs and heal the body with food in one product. Shentrition is all natural, wheat-free, dairy-free, and 100% vegetarian. Discover the ancient secrets to healing, wellness, and longevity at Shentrition.com. That's Shentrition. Shentrition.com or call 1-866-497-7436. That's 1-866-497-7436 today.
Every day, RBN's mission is to use our collective voice to spread truth and relevant information for daily survival against the growing erosion of our constitutional rights and the growing tyranny in our government. But truth, like freedom, isn't free. The truth is, RBN needs your support against the growing evil forces in our government that are moving quickly to bring our nation down. If you agree with the mission of RBN and one unifying voice, please stand with us by donating any amount you can afford. Your support will also help us launch a new elected representative network that will be totally listener-supported and commercial-free. To donate, visit republicbroadcasting.org, call 800-724-2719, or mail your donation to Republic Broadcasting, 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
When my son started having behavior problems, the total transformation techniques were like the instruction manual on how to deal with him. We got immediate results.
Ever wish your kid came with an instruction manual? When he's disrespectful, defiant, or even abusive? Do you know how to fix it? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'll show you how to change your child's behavior right now with the Total Transformation. The program then helps you fix every behavior problem under the sun. Defiance, backtalking, lying, acting out in school, even problems with ADD and ADHD. There's no screaming, no fighting, no frustration. The Total Transformation is the program I've used for over 30 years to solve even the worst behavior problems. Your child will listen to you again, and you'll get peace and sanity back into your home. I guarantee it.
Call now and get How to Turn Your Child's Attitude Around in 1 minute or less free with your order. 1-800-656-4806. 1-800-656-4806. Call now. 1-800-656-4806.
We are back. My guest today has been Ken Mercer. He's on the Texas School Board down here in the Lone Star State. Let me ask you this, Ken. If you had an opportunity for any brainstorming or any initiatives, whatever else, has that been on your mind, if you have the ability to move or sway people or to get them moving?
I'd love to have more parents involved. And I'd love to have the, you know, one brainstorm I've had recently was that I would like to, when I grew up, all the churches, I was military family. Every time I went to a church, they had vacation Bible schools. I'd love churches to consider a vacation phonics school. Spend a week with the kids, go just in the morning, they have a, you know, 4 hours, and just get the kids back up to speed again where they can learn how to read the way they should be. Because as you said, and two of your guests, Guy and Gary, said, if the kids can read, they can do anything.
Yeah.
And I would love them to have a time where they just spend a week learning basic phonics.
Well, I'll tell you something. The first step that I see that needs to be done, I think we need to get the Fed out of our teaching curriculum.
Yes, and that's the big. You know, if your listeners like, I know they don't, but if they like the government run health care, they'll love government run education, which is where we're going right now, but big time.
Well, I'm hoping Rick Perry is a little bit of a mystifying act. He looks conservative on some points, and on other points, you're scratching your head and you don't know what this guy is doing. I like that you say that you're not a Republican, but you're a conservative, but Ken, they've even changed the meaning of that. The 21st century meaning of being a conservative anymore is that you're fiscally responsible. Okay, well, I know dyed-in-the-wool flaming fire-breathing liberals that know how to balance a checkbook. Yes, does that make right. them conservative?
Well, my favorite is when I hear the print media call somebody, they'll call them a self-described conservative. I go, oh, isn't that wonderful?
Self-described. So-called. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. I will call you, Ken. Richard Mack, because he is kind of leading the pack here about sheriffs and independents and following the law and following the Constitution. Don't pick up the policy or the bad laws and enforce those. Become peace officers once again, because the county sheriff is the only electable law enforcement, if I have to use that term, in this country. And he's going to be a part of ERN, and I would like you to be a part of it as well. I think there's a real possibility of talking with other school board members. Don't count on anybody from California, though. But you'd be able to liaise with other people in other school districts and on boards across the country. So I'll be calling you on that issue.
I would love to talk to them, and I just know there's a lot of I believe in America. I believe in grassroots. I believe in parents and people being involved, and I just know that I really believe that our best days, if we keep fighting there, our best days are definitely in front of us, John. Definitely in front of us.
Oh, they have to be, because I'm looking behind me, and I don't like what I'm seeing there.
I definitely, what I see right now, I want to look behind, right, and keep on going.
Yeah. All right. By the way, I wanted to ask you, you were a Texas representative?
Yes, so before I was in the school board, yes.
Uh-huh. And how long did you serve in that capacity?
I served for one term. I ran in the Democrat majority district, but I won. And then I ran up for re-election, and I ran against a millionaire trial lawyer. And that was the end of that story.
Uh-huh. All right. Hey, Ken, thank you so much.
Thank you, John. You take care. Have a wonderful weekend.
Okay, you too, sir. All right, we'll take the break here. Top of the hour. I got to scramble here. Because I am at home and I don't have any material, so I'm going to try to rectify that problem in the next 2 minutes. At any rate, we will open the phones up in Open Phone Friday. Oh, what a perfect day for that. 800-313-9443. We'll be right back. We must take the
With recent